Well, good morning, friends. It's a joy to be celebrating this morning with you. If I haven't met you before, my name's Daniel. I'm a chaplain down at Hillcrest and Rivercrest, just down the road, and I'm a parishioner here at the 10:15 service. And today we're continuing our series on Proverbs and thinking about talking with wisdom. And before I launch into the sermon, there's a prologue that I need to give because my prayer is that this sermon will convict you. And because of that, I don't want it to seem like I'm standing up here at the lectern, shaking the finger, saying you're all very naughty people. Because this is a sermon for me as well. As I was preparing it and listening to myself practice it, I heard the word of God speaking to me. This is a sermon that I need to hear. So please don't feel like I'm the righteous man telling all you dirty sinners that you're evil speakers, because I'm an evil speaker as well. And the second thing that I need to say before I start is that we aren't delving into the depths of wisdom that Proverbs has about speaking. We're not going through Proverbs exhaustively and examining every little aspect. We're looking at a broad survey, the big ideas that Proverbs brings out. And because of that, I don't want you to go away from this thinking, I know everything that the book of Proverbs has to say about wisdom, has to say about speaking righteously, because that's definitely not the case. And as I go through, I'll be jumping all over the place. So if you'd like to go home and study this further, think about what Proverbs has to say about speaking, please come up and speak to me, and I'd be happy to give you a list of the verses that I've used and some others that I've found that might be helpful in your own private private study. And with that done, let's get into the book of Proverbs and talking with wisdom. And as I was reading through the book, I was quite astounded to find out that Proverbs treats talking as one of its major points. When I think about wisdom, I think naturally about sort of knowledge and doing the right thing. Talking with wisdom, I thought, would be a kind of side issue. It'd be something, you know, it mentions a couple of times, but leaves it at that. But that is definitely not the case. In the main central section of Proverbs, called the Proverbs of Solomon, in every single chapter, from chapter 10 to chapter 21, it mentions speaking at least once. And more often than not, it mentions speaking a whole number of times in each chapter. The idea of talking with wisdom is important to God. In fact, words are important to God. If we think about how God created the world, it was through words. If we think about the way that God talks to us, communicates with us, reveals himself to us, it's through words. If we think about the name that was given to Christ, he is the Word. Words are important to God. Now, in our Bible verse for today, Proverbs chapter 12, verses 14 to 28, we see five key teachings that run all the way through Proverbs, the five key ideas that we need to get were to understand what Proverbs has to say to us about talking with wisdom. And they are that words are powerful, that we should give and listen to instruction, that we should not lie, that sometimes it's better not to say anything at all, and that the words that we speak show the person that we are on the inside, show the state of our heart. So to begin with, we'll think about the idea that words are powerful. And as a chaplain, I can definitely attest to this fact. A large part of my work involves speaking with children, speaking with teenagers, and listening to them tell me about the things that are going on in their life. And more often than not, the issues that they have come from people speaking words to them, people speaking harsh words to them, people speaking rash words to them. A word spoken quickly without thought sometimes lasts with the student for years and years and years. It can sit with them. It sometimes defines the person that they think that they are. Listen to this from chapter 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And chapter 12, verse 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. And from other parts of Proverbs, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. And the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The book of Proverbs makes it very clear. Our words make a difference. But sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we can change anything by speaking. Sometimes it feels like our words are just empty wind, just going out there and they change nothing and nobody hears them. But if you look at it from the other side, you'll know that that's just not true. I am positive that I wouldn't have to prod you too far for you to remember a time that somebody has spoken a harsh word to you. That somebody has said something nasty to you, something destructive to you. Those words sit with you. Like we were talking about before, those words sometimes come to define you. And on the other hand, I probably wouldn't have to push you too far either to help you to think of words that have been spoken to you that have built you up, that have, in a positive way, defined the person that you are, have set you on a path, have given you that encouragement to keep on going. You know that words are powerful. I don't have to convince you of that fact. You know that words have power. Words stay with us. And the scary thing is, your words stay with others. The first principle that we need to know is that the things that we say aren't just empty sounds coming out of our mouth. They have the power of destruction and healing, of tearing down and building up. Our words are powerful. And it's precisely because of this fact that Proverbs devotes so much of its attention to speaking wisely. And the next thing that Proverbs tells us is that we need to both give instruction to other people and we need to listen to it. And this is very hard to do. Listen to this from verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. And from elsewhere, a fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. An interesting thing that we as humans do is this thing called confirmation bias. We automatically assume that our beliefs and our thoughts are, you know, rationally worked out and are inherently right. And so we pay attention to information that confirms what we already believe and ignore information that challenges what we think. It's a bit like that thing that happens when you're buying a new car. If you're looking around at cars and thinking about models, or if you've just bought a new car, all of a sudden everybody else buys the same car. You're driving along the road, you're like, hey, that's my car. And then you're pulling into the supermarket and there's like a row of three of them, like I've never seen that before. That same car pops up everywhere. Or when I was in school and we were going on a long bus trip and we were playing punch buggy, where whenever you see a Volkswagen Beetle, you punch the person next to you. All of a sudden you realize how many of those cars are on the road. It's that idea that we pay attention to the things that we're looking out for. And this happens to us with our ideas as well. We keep our eyes out for the things that confirm what we believe. And things that go against what we think, we ignore completely. It's not that things have changed, it's just that we're paying more attention to it. So the way of fools seems right to them, because everywhere they look, they only see the things that confirm their foolishness. And I know that I myself am very guilty of this. I am far less critical when I'm reading something that agrees with the ideas that I already hold than I am when I'm reading with something I disagree with. If I disagree with something from the outset, I'll be far more critical. I'll be looking at it with a fine-tooth comb going, oh, you didn't say that right. The whole idea must be wrong. I confirm what I believe. It's hard to take the time and the energy to challenge our beliefs. It's hard to honestly sit down and examine ourselves. If someone corrects or someone challenges us on something that we do or think, our natural inclination is to immediately disagree with them. That's the first thought that we have. This person isn't right because. The Bible says we are naturally foolish. The way of fools seems right to them. But the book of Proverbs tells us to stop being like this. We are supposed to truly listen to advice. But not only are we supposed to heed correction, listen to advice, But we are supposed to give advice as well. From chapter 28, verse 23, whoever rebukes a person will afterward find more favour than one who flatters with the tongue. And I think we all know this to be true. While in the short term we really love to hear somebody flattering us, it gives us that little boost and go, yes, I am fantastic, we quickly understand that their words sound hollow. If the only thing that they say to us is flattery, all of a sudden you go, this person isn't actually telling me the truth. This person isn't actually saying what is true about me. They're just trying to flatter me. They're just trying to ingratiate themselves with me. Their words sound hollow, and we don't appreciate them as much as someone who honestly and wisely rebukes us. Now, I myself find this very hard to do. I naturally want to flatter people because I want other people to approve of me. I know that when I correct another person, they might take offence because the way of fools seems right to them. They might take offence and go, don't you dare tell me that. So I want to flatter people. I want people to like me, so I'll tell them things that they like to hear. It's hard to give correction. But on the other hand, this isn't a license to be rude or to be unthoughtful or to be insulting to other people in the name of a godly thing of being wise. This isn't a battering ram verse that you can use and say, well, I'm supposed to give you correction and you're supposed to heed it, so do what I say. Remember that our tongues have power. The first point of Proverbs is that our tongues have power, and we have the responsibility to speak with wisdom and speak with healing, not use our tongues like weapons. So give and heed correction, but do it wisely, do it lovingly, like Proverbs wants us to do. The third point that Proverbs makes for us is that deception, falsehood, lies are against the will of God. From chapter 12, verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Chapter 19 really emphasizes this fact. It in fact says it twice, like a good preacher trying to get a point across. A false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will not go free. And then a couple of verses on, a false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will perish. This is an important point that God is trying to drive home to us. And the point is simple. The point doesn't need great elaboration. The point is, do not lie. Do not be deceptive. The wise life, a life that's lived well, is a life that is not marked by deceit. And really, the idea of lies is kind of ridiculous, isn't it? If there is a God above, then lies don't really work. If there's a God who knows all things and sees all things, then while we may trick every person around us, the one person to whom it really matters cannot be fooled by us. Our lies don't work with God. Do not lie, is the word from God. The fourth point that Proverbs gives to us is that sometimes the wisest thing that we can do is not speak at all. Paradoxically, sometimes wise speech means no speech. From verse 23, a prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. And from elsewhere in Proverbs, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. And those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. And even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. And those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. I wonder, have you ever met that person that has an opinion on everything? That one person who seems to be able to talk at length on any topic that you want to talk about? I know a couple in my life, and when you first meet them, you might think, oh my goodness, this person is amazing. This person knows so much about every single topic that I bring up. And then they'd start talking about something that you know about. They start talking about that topic that you specialize in, that you know a lot about, and you quickly realize this person has no idea what they're talking about. This person speaks a lot, but their words mean nothing at all. Sometimes you see this on Facebook, don't you? Do you have that Facebook friend who comments about everything and every thought that runs through their head gets posted onto Facebook? Chances are you probably don't see that person as the wisest among your friends. You love them dearly, but they may not be the person that you think of as the wisest. Sometimes wise speech means not speaking at all. And on the other hand, isn't it sometimes the quiet people that speak the loudest? I don't know if you're involved in meetings and things like that, but there are some people who dominate the conversation every time. But then there's that person who really comments. But when they do, the entire meeting goes silent. Everyone stops and listens to this person because they don't waste their words. If they don't just blurt out every thought, then what they're saying has been thought through, has been reasoned. This person sees a need to say something. So people stop and they listen to them. Now, this needs to be held in tension with what else the Bible says about speaking, because we know that sometimes we need to speak. In the book of Ecclesiastes, which is another wisdom book in the Old Testament, in chapter 3 it says that there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. And even throughout the book of Proverbs, we see that there are times when we need to speak out, particularly in terms of unjust things happening, of when things are going wrong in the world. It would be unwise not to speak out about that. It would be unwise not to say something. There are times when you need to speak, but there are times when you don't either. Proverbs says that if you want to appear wise to others, learn first how to not speak. Give up that temptation to live for the approval of others. And when you give it up, chances are that you'll find the approval of others. I have a challenge for you. I'd like to challenge you at some point over this next week to practice silence, to give into that, or use that discipline of silence, which also means silence in the digital world as well. It means don't SMS or talk on Facebook. Practice silence. Practice a day of silence if you can. Practice a couple of hours of silence if you can. I bet you that it's harder than you're thinking it is right now. Silence is hard to do, but is necessary if you'd like to live wisely. And finally, the book of Proverbs tells us that the words that we speak are a reflection of the people that we are. Scripture tells us clearly that what we say comes from the state of our inmost being. Our words express our heart. Listen to this. A fool shows his annoyance at once, from verse 16. But a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do you hear how the order goes? An honest witness, a truthful witness, gives honest testimony. The person that they are determines the words that they speak. The tongue of the wise brings healing. The person that they are, the wise, determines the words that they speak. And elsewhere in Proverbs, from the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. And the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. The state of us as individuals, as people, determine the words that we will say. And sometimes we can be really good at covering up the people that we are with our words. We can appear to be someone entirely different to the person that we are. But eventually, in the end, you will always be found out by the words that you say. I don't know if you've had that experience of seeing a flash of a person's temperament in the words that they use. Their innermost being comes through in a moment of rash thought, in a moment of quick speaking. You go, whoa, hang on a second. I didn't know you were that kind of person. I didn't know that's who you were. A person is always found out by their words. And that means that you can't begin to change your speech if you don't also work on changing yourself. It'd be useless to go away from this sermon determined to think, I'm going to change the words that come out of my mouth, without also being determined to change the person that you are inside. It is useless to try to speak wisely when your heart is tuned to evil. Now, interestingly, this is the piece of wisdom that the New Testament picks up most clearly. The book of James, the letter of James, is a book that follows in this tradition of wisdom literature. It picks up many of the same ideas that Proverbs has and the rest of wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And it picks up this idea of speaking, this idea that the words that we speak come from our heart. It's interesting that in James we see that not only does the tongue show the state of our heart, but that our heart, in its natural state, is evil, and that it shows the divided nature of us as Christians. Listen to this from chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. The perfect man is able to control his tongue. The words that we speak reflect the person inside. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Can you hear the continuity of ideas between our book of Proverbs and the book of James? With James, though, he extends the idea and he brings out that cyclical nature that we're stuck in. Like a spring, our tongue, our words, show the state of ourselves. And the words that we say then influence what we do. And what we do influences the state of us as people. The state of us as people influences the words that we use. Like a rudder, our tongues direct us, and like a fire, we are set ablaze by it. What a hopeless state of affairs that we're set in then. Do you see the ever-descending spiral that we're in? We use our words, which determine our actions, which determine our being, which determine the words that we use, which determine our actions. We're in a spiral going down. And we cannot help it. There is no way out of that. Because our whole self is corrupted. We're stuck. But praise God, my friends, that in fact we are not stuck. Praise God that, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are not stuck in the spiral. Praise God that we live in the days that Ezekiel spoke of and longed for, when our heart of stone is being removed and a heart of living flesh is being put in us. You see, we live now in a time of sanctification. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we are being made holy before God. But, of course, we know that our sanctification is not yet complete. We are not yet completely holy. And thus we're like that spring that brings forth both fresh living water and salt water. We have a divided nature within us. Our speech is mixed. We bless and we curse. And yet we eagerly anticipate the day when our clean heart only pours forth clean words. So, what is the message of Proverbs for us regarding the way that we talk? Well, it's that our words are powerful, that we should give and should listen to instruction wisely, that we should not lie, but that we should learn to hold our tongue, that our words come from our hearts, and that while we live in our time, live in a time where our speech is being purified through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we look forward to a time when we will be cleansed. So what do? Practice. Practice speaking. Practice speaking wisely. And throw yourself on the mercy of God when you don't, because your words are powerful. You hold the power of life and death. You have the ability to build someone up or tear them down. So throw yourselves on the mercy of God when you tear down another person, when you use the gift that you've been given to harm others, because it is a great sin. And yet we know, of course, that our God is a great forgiver, and that if we go to him, he will forgive us. And if we ask him, he will continue his work of sanctification, making us holy in anticipation of the day when the only words that we will speak are words of wisdom. The only things that we will say are words of healing, words of building each other up. And what a great day that will be. Let's pray. Glorious Father, thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you that you care about us enough that you want to teach us how to live wisely. We pray that you will work in our hearts so that we speak words of wisdom, that we are a blessing to the people around us. And Lord, we seek forgiveness for those times that we tear people down, that we use our power for destruction. Make us holy, Father. Make us a new creation. Make us more like your perfect Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your name. Amen.